So with Councillor Matt Furness, who's the Cabinet Member for Highways of Surrey County Council. Now, Matt, just tell us a little bit about the situation that's ongoing here in Godston.
So what we're doing, and it started today, is we're doing ground penetration surveys at the moment. Our initial surveys that we did last week could only do 3 metres. We're now going down to 10. We do have other options if we need to go deeper, but we're hoping this will allow us to form an idea of repairs and advise residents of when we think they might be allowed back into their homes.
Now, we heard earlier on there was a three-stage sequence of investigation going on. First was using the drones to investigate the whole area and try and map the surface as what they could see. And then you've been using drilling techniques to go down a little bit further. And then you're now looking at LiDAR.
Yeah, so we're using LiDAR at the moment. We haven't done the drilling techniques at this point because we need to know where it is structurally safe to do those drilling of the boreholes. That's the third stage, if we need to go that far. So each of the stages go a little bit deeper depending on what we find. We have the historic caves that we're just trying to map ourselves now, but what we're really trying to find out is how structurally sound the buildings are so we can start letting people back in before we start reconstructing the road.
It's all fascinating how this all happens and how it's now been designated as a collapse rather than a sinkhole. Would you like just to explain the differences between sinkhole and collapse, please?
Okay. So a collapse is a man-made element because we believe they're the man-made caves that were underneath Godston for the mining of sand, probably about 100 years ago. A sinkhole is a geological feature. So at the end of the day, it is a hole in the road, and that's what we're just making sure that we can get the buildings to be structurally safe.
Now, the whole area is known for its caves and its sand pits, of which there are many stretching from Godston all the way towards Redhill. Would the water table have any effect on this? It does rise quite regularly in the area.
So that's why we're doing this investigation. I know it might be frustratingly slow to people, but we're already in, it's 1 week today, we are already doing that investigation down to 10 metres. We will go further if necessary. We need to see where the water's gone. That is going to be a key point. But what we're doing is we're going to keep everyone up to date at every stage of what we find out.
Matt Furness, thank you very much for speaking to us on Susie Radio.
Thank you.
Now, I'm joined by Councillor Richard Biggs, who's representing the local MP for East Surrey, Claire Coutinho, as part of her team. Richard, thank you very much for speaking to us. I know Claire is off on maternity leave at the moment, and she's watching from afar quite closely, I believe.
Thanks, Neil, and yes, absolutely. I mean, Claire's been constantly following this since it was reported early last week, and she's making sure that her team's available for residents that have got issues, and businesses, of course, where we've set up a business meeting on Thursday for all the local businesses, and we've already been round and spoken to them as well. So the team's on the case.
It is a difficult time. I presume she's feeling quite detached from it at the moment, although rightly so.
Well, absolutely. She's got a job to do and she's enjoying motherhood. But of course, her team is there, and that's what the team is there for, is to make sure that all the information gets through to the residents, gets through to the businesses and gets back to Claire so that she's fully aware of what's going on.
And how would people actually make that contact with the team?
As always, through Claire's email address. We keep it simple, claire.coutinho.mp@parliament.uk, and we make sure that's fully monitored. So we'll get back to people ultra quick.
Councillor Richard Biggs, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thanks, Neil. Take care.
So I'm with Diego, one of the residents of William Way. Good evening, Diego. We just stepped out of the big village meeting, which is getting quite heated at the moment, but you raised a very poignant question earlier on. I wondered if you'd like to tell the listeners of Susie Radio what that was around your young baby.
Yes. So we live in Flat 10, number 1 William Way. We have, it's me, my wife, and a 17-month baby. In the last 4 nights, unfortunately, we have slept in 3 different places. So the first night we had to evacuate the building due to the sinkhole issue. We went to my in-laws. Then on the second night, the council gave us 1 night in the travel lodge, which wasn't ideal because we didn't have a kitchen or a fridge or anywhere to cook for the baby. And the third place we've been now is at my friend's house, which is kindly been helping us with staying there. My question was, we as residents feel that unfortunately we've been thrown all over different places, especially because when we firstly contacted the council, they said we should contact the insurer. My situation is slightly different because I'm a tenant, and my insurer, my landlord's insurer, they said it's nothing to do with us because it's not affecting the flat, it's the road. So we just feel that we've been thrown every way, and the council, the insurance company, they've been playing
ping pong between the cells, aren't they? Exactly. And you're not getting the right answers, you're being moved from A to B.
Exactly.
But this is having an awful knock-on effect on your young child.
Of course, she has become really clingy, want mummy and daddy all the time, and having and we can see how it's been affecting her. The only thing we want, and that's the question they asked council in the first place, is insurers, are they saying they want supporters for the long term? And we just want answers to know if they're going to step up and give us long-term accommodation for the time being. They're talking about months, possibly a year, to be able to fix the issue, and we need to find answers. So that's what we're trying to understand, because currently they're playing blaming games, really, and blaming each other. Whose fault is it? Who we should talk to? And we can't be moving around with a 17-month baby every 2 weeks or something.
Now, I believe that answer was question was accepted by James Devonshire, who's the officer for the council on an accommodation, sorting people's problems out. He did acknowledge that and say to you he would talk to you and look into it.
Exactly. So I'm just waiting for the meeting to finish currently so I can have a chat with him and see what will be in place. We want concrete answers as to how that will look like, because we can't afford going to a Travelodge again for one or two nights and then be moved again. We need final answers for long-term accommodation, and that's the questions that I'm going to be looking for answers from them.
Diego, thank you very much for telling us your story, and we hope it gets resolved as soon as possible.
No worries, thank you so much.
I'm joined by Lloyd Allen, who's the infrastructure team manager for Surrey County Council. Good evening, thank you for your presentation earlier on.
That's a pleasure, thank you.
Now, just explain a little bit more about the methods of investigations that you're going through at the moment.
Yeah, so we're currently establishing what the problem is, and to do that we have to carry out lots of technical investigations, which I mentioned in my presentation earlier. Those investigations should give us a clue as to the ground conditions that we're facing, the issues with the potential tunnels or mines under the surface, the reason that this road's collapsed, and then we can establish a method of repair. Whilst we're doing that, we're looking at methods to stabilise the hole at the moment, and by stabilise I mean just make it safe and tidy so that it doesn't collapse any further. But we're doing those two in tandem.
It's almost like being on the beach with a sandcastle, though.
Exactly, yes, exactly that. Because when you're dealing with sand, and the worry is that all that water that's gone in the hole, that's made something wet, and we don't know how it's reacted. So we really have to understand that and do proper surveys to get a good idea of whether that is going to be structurally sound or whether we have to do further work to it.
Now, let's just go wind the clock back a little bit, because everybody drives through Gosden quite regularly, and I'm one of them, being a local resident in the neighbouring village of Bletchingley. There are potholes, and they don't seem to get addressed properly, or if they do, it's a quick fix. Now, I know from obviously living around here for a long period of time that the road in question has had trench work done in that, somewhere between 21 and 23. Now, and that was along the same side where this collapse was. Do you think that could have disturbed anything?
I can't comment on that because I don't know at the moment. And I think that trench work was probably the utility connections to the development, and which should have been carried out and well supervised. So effectively, they should have been okay. But sometimes things happen, and that's part of where we are investigating the problem. And I really, you know, we seriously have got lots of different ideas of potential causes of the collapse, but I can't tell you what it was at the moment. Because
so we're potentially
know.
Looking at either a pipe burst that's called washout, the sand below just collapsing anyway, that's led to the split in the pipework, or perhaps, if I may throw a googly at you, the water table rising.
potentially, yeah, I don't think it's the water table rising, because we've seen the sand that's coming out of the excavations. It's quite dry in the local area, so I don't think that's the issue. But yes, it could be time. It's just got to the age, and those tunnels have decided to let go in that location. It could be all manner of things. People are talking about HGVs and weight of vehicles and all of that sort of things. Unlikely to have caused that collapse. But again, it could be a mixture of problems.
But you do have to acknowledge there's a certain amount of vibration from a large vehicle going past. I know, my house shakes every morning at 6 o'clock.
So I've heard at the meeting tonight, yes. And I really wouldn't be able to comment on the reasons for that. Could be that the manhole's low and the lorry's in, etc. So
there's so many factors, isn't there, to consider.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Now, I know you've said tonight you can't really put a time scale on things, because investigations do take a long time and experts have to be consulted, but even experts looking into a hole have to give their best guess and then add the rule of thumb for safety.
Yeah. So my best guess is that we will be here in months and months to come fixing the problem. That doesn't mean that residents will be outside of their properties, and we're going to get them in as quickly as we can, as soon as we can stabilise that situation and say that their properties are safe to go return to, and hope to get to that situation reasonably quickly. So that timescale would be a few weeks, I think, if you want to pin me down to a number.
So the priority would be to stabilise the property side of the road or the hole first, and then work at the road surface later.
So not stabilise the road, stabilise the condition, so make sure that the property is stable. Sorry, maybe I used the wrong word. So the property is stable and we can get the residents back in there, that we know that there's not going to be any a further issue with it. We are going to do some temporary works to the holes to make sure that they don't grow any further, whilst we look at the potential repairs and carry out the surveys that I mentioned earlier on to give us an idea of the ground conditions.
That's lovely. Lloyd Allen, the infrastructure team manager of Surrey County Council, thank you very much for speaking to us at Susie Radio.
Thanks very much.
I'm with Shane from DD Services, which is up in the cordoned off area of Godston High Street. Now, you've got a vehicle business, and this must be having a huge knock-on effect on you.
It is, yeah. It's been a logistical nightmare for the last week that it's been happening. We've had to kind of force a hand and collect the vehicles ourselves and drive them through the site, but eventually we've managed to get the council to agree to allow the public to drive up to us, but in a restricted manner. So
we saw the Facebook post you put out. We put that up on our Susie Radio Facebook page as well this morning, which tells you how to get through the barrier to come to local businesses, but it must only be for the local businesses.
Yes, it is only for the local businesses, just to allow access to Ferrell's, Think Systems, there's my garage, DD Services, there's also Star Barbers, and the chemist, more importantly, is the chemist. A lot of people are struggling to get to the chemist.
And there's a lot of problems there, particularly with their deliveries at the moment, because they're not getting the medicines that they need to distribute to local residents.
Yeah, we've all struggled with deliveries. I have a good reputation with my local suppliers, so I've managed to voice where they can and can't drop off. Obviously with other suppliers it's a little bit difficult for them to get to the drivers, to let them know how to get to their businesses. So we need to work with the council and the highways to allow our deliveries through so we can maintain some form of business.
Now that cordon has been extended further down. It's now right at the road closure point at the top of the one-way system, if you like, in Godston, and all the way through to the roundabout at the other side. But it's in two sections. So you've got a cordon one, which is the actual sinkhole area itself, and you're in the what we call the cordon two area.
Yes, that's correct. The cordon two area is perfectly safe for the public to drive into and access the businesses that are there, but cordon one is a no-go for everybody.
The effect on your business, you mentioned earlier on in one of your questions that you've done literally 10% of your daily turnover.
To begin with this week, yes, today was slightly better. Yesterday was slow. It was expected because the phones were a bit slow last week because everyone just assumed that we was closed. I'm just trying to get the word out there that we remain open, and hopefully the business will start to come back towards the end of the week and next week.